Tonight, we're going to begin a brief series on spiritual warfare. I call it Spiritual Warfare 101 because it's going to be very basic. I mean, it's going to be a simple teaching for 3 weeks from the book of Ephesians. And the message tonight is basic training. So it is basic. Now, if you're unfamiliar with spiritual warfare, well, you're in the right place because this is basic training and you need to know a little bit about spiritual warfare. Now, if you're an old veteran in spiritual warfare, well, this is just a refresher for you of some simple basic truths, but I believe it's something that all of us can be blessed by. You know, we really are in a spiritual war. Some people just kind of stick their head in the sand and some people are just totally unaware. And well, a lot of people seem to have been, I'm talking about believers, seem to have been lulled to sleep in the midst of the battle. I mean, they're sleeping on the battlefield. Not very smart, but they never give a thought to the spiritual battle that we are in until they're blindsided by the enemy. But you know, even when life blows up in their face, a lot of people, instead of realizing that I'm in a spiritual battle and I have an enemy, you know what they say? Why did God let this happen to me? Or even worse, why did God do this to me? If you don't already know this, you need to never forget that you have an enemy, an adversary, who is always against you, and God is not your enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, we talked about this verse this past Sunday. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's real, and he does a whole lot of harm. It's amazing, a lot of people today don't believe that the devil is real. They think he's just some kind of, you know, it's the concept of evil or something like that. But you know what? If you believe the Bible, you got to know that the devil is real. I mean, the Bible speaks about him many, many times, and he's not just a force of evil. He is a person. And you need to know who your adversary is. Here he's called the devil. Other places he's called Satan, the accuser of the brethren, Lucifer. A lot of different names and titles given to him. He's not a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and a tail. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Satan, who was once Lucifer, the anointed cherub of heaven that led the worship of heaven, but he tried to exalt himself and God kicked him out of heaven. That's who this is. Satan, the devil, and he wants to steal and kill and destroy people's lives. And I say this often, but if you want to see his work, you just look around at the world around us. All of the harm and destruction and evil things going on in our world, it is all the work of the devil. I'm glad Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he's still doing that through his church. Amen. But we have an enemy, and we are in a war. And when you become a believer, well, you become a part of the Lord's army, whether you know it or not. You are a part of the Lord's army. I know a lot of preachers, they never talk about it. They just say, pray this prayer, and they never said anything about you being drafted into the Lord's army. But you need to understand that you are. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul tells Timothy, his son in the faith, that he must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're supposed to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, we are a part of the Lord's army. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 tells us to fight the good fight of faith. We need to know how to fight this fight in this spiritual battle that we're in. So we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, and that's going to be our main text for the next, well, tonight and 2 more weeks. And then You know, Ephesians, it's full of all kinds of spiritual truths, but in the last half of the last chapter, beginning in verse 10, so we're at Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, he says, finally, my brethren, you see, everything else has been leading up to this. All of this teaching he's doing and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then in here at chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, it's all leading up to this. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He lays it out for us that we really are in a spiritual battle and we need to know how to fight. Now, the scripture talks about the wiles of the devil. Another translation says the schemes of the devil. And I want you to understand that one of Satan's greatest weapons is deception. You know, I mentioned earlier how sometimes people will blame God or say, why did God do this? And it was really the work of Satan. That is one of Satan's greatest tricks, one of his greatest deceptions in our generation, is so many people, instead of knowing what we sang tonight, that he's good. All the time, every day, all my life, I look back. Were there hard times and trouble? Yes. But God was good to me, even in the midst of all of it. See, that's how Satan is, though. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's always trying to make God look like the bad guy. And oh, how many people fall into that deception and believe that. But deception, yes, it's one of his greatest weapons. And the cure for deception, the cure for deception is truth. And the Word of God is our source of truth. And the more that you know the truth of the Word of God, the more that you will be ready for whatever deception the enemy tries to come against you with. You need to know the Scripture. And did you know that for a lot of what I'm going to call casual Christians, I think Jesus called them lukewarm. But anyway, you know, they're Christians, sort of. They sort of know a little bit of scripture here and there, and it's real easy for the devil to actually use a verse or two, a phrase or two here and there, and twist it just a little bit and deceive them. We need to know the scripture and what the scripture says for us to be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. You can't stand against him if you don't know the truth. But for basic training, we're going to go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians and start from there. Remember, it all leads up to chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, but I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to see that we are fighting with the victory. We have to know what the Lord has already done for us. We need to understand our place in Christ, that ultimately this war has already been won. And you can read about it at the end of the book of Revelation. In fact, I just want to give you just a little glimpse real quick. Revelation 20 and 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. We win. The devil loses. And he knows it. And is he ever mad and bitter and hateful about it? Yes, that's our enemy. That's our adversary. But in the end, we win. You know, if we don't really understand who we are in Christ and what's already been done for us, we just won't be able. You see, if we don't get this, if we don't know who we are in Christ and understand what he's done, We won't be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil that it tells us to in Ephesians 6. So we're going to go back to chapter 1 and just start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing. We have been blessed. It's past tense. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You know, it's too much of the time. We just want the earthly blessings. But there are spiritual blessings that we have already received in Christ. Things that He's already done for us. We've already been saved. I mean, if you're born again, well, you've already been saved. You've already been delivered and set free, whether you know it or not. You've already been justified. You've already been sanctified. You've already been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. That's all in Christ. You need to know that when you are in Christ, oh, that holds so many powerful blessings and truths about you as a child of God. Verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us. What an amazing truth. In the foreknowledge of God, our heavenly Father chose us that we should be holy. Did you know he chose you that you would be holy? We're supposed to be his holy people. This is who we are. See, and you need to know who you are so that you're ready to fight your spiritual enemy. Who are you? You are somebody that God chose. Who are you? You're somebody that he has made holy. This is who you're supposed to be. I want to tell you, if you don't know that you're holy, that God has chosen you to make you holy, you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of mess in this filthy world. No, he's chosen you to be holy. And he's chosen us to be his people for eternity. What an amazing thing. For eternity. But that also means that he's chosen us to be his people for right now. Right now. This is who we are. Then he said, without blame, before him in love. Without blame. This is what God has already done for us. Without blame. Is there any blame on you? This is really, really important. Because one of the greatest tricks of Satan is that he's always trying to bring guilt and condemnation and accusation against us. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he is always accusing. He tries to bring stuff up to weaken our faith, to get us under guilt and condemnation and cause us to feel defeated. Is there anything that he could accuse you of? Oh my. Listen, he is a liar. He'll accuse you of things. He'll accuse you of things that you didn't do. But he'll also accuse us of things that we did wrong. Yes, he will. He'll bring it up to you over and over again. You sorry scuzzball, call yourself a Christian. You hypocrite. Who do you think you are? You didn't say the right thing. You didn't do right. You didn't handle that right. You big sinner, I saw what you did. He'll just keep bringing up. Come on. but we've been made blameless before him in love. See, sometimes we feel unworthy. Of course we feel unworthy. You know why? Because we're unworthy. It's all grace. It's all what he's done for us. You see, we got to get this and we can't ever get past this. We need to realize how important this is. It's all because of what he's done for us. Jesus took our blame. He took our shame. It's because of the blood of Jesus that Satan doesn't have anything on you. If you're a child of God, he doesn't have nothing on you. I want to jump over to Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34. We'll be coming back to Ephesians, but I want you to see this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who? It is God who justifies. Who brings a charge? Satan, the accuser of the brethren. It's God who justifies. Who's he who that condemns? Satan. He tries to condemn. It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You see, he tries to accuse, he tries to condemn, but we have already been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus right now is making intercession for us before the Father. I want to remind you the justice. See, we've been justified. The justice of God has been met and satisfied by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. He didn't just cancel the debt. He paid the debt. That's how the debt was taken care of. He did it for us. So don't let the enemy put shame on you. It is a trick of Satan to make you think that you can't stand against him. Our righteousness is a gift. It is a free gift that we receive by faith. We're not trying to become righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin." Talking about Jesus. He didn't know any sin. He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's all because of what he did for us. And when we pray, when we stand to fight against the schemes of Satan, if we feel condemned and guilty and under condemnation, I just want you to understand, it's going to undermine your faith. No, you're ready to stand against the schemes of Satan when you know that you are right with God. You are righteous before your Father because of what he's already done for you. But as long as you allow that guilt, that condemnation, Satan is going to use it against you to steal and kill and destroy in your life. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues." You see, when they're the wicked, when they know they've done wrong and they're feeling all guilty, they flee even though nobody's coming after them. But that's not the whole verse. It says, "But the righteous are bold as a lion." You see, when you know that you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus and you stand against the wiles of the devil, you can be bold because he ain't got nothing on you. Just got to clarify. We're not talking about self-righteous. Oh, no. No, we are not talking about self-righteous. We are talking about the righteousness that was given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we know that we're right with God and he's backing us up, why would we ever back down? Back to Ephesians 1, verse 5, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, adopted as his children. You've been adopted. Now, the Bible makes it real clear. We were adopted. We have the spirit of adoption. But this adoption is a little bit different from earthly adoption. Because let me tell you how you became a son, a daughter of God. You were born of him. Born again. Born of the Spirit of God. Yes, you were adopted into the family, but it was a supernatural thing that you became a child of God. You were chosen. And you've been accepted in the beloved. You belong to God. He's your father. You see, when you are in a spiritual battle and you know that your father is the Almighty, it changes everything. You don't have anything to fear. We are not afraid of our enemy. We're sons and daughters of the Almighty. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, if God is for you, who can be against you? You just need to know this is a fixed fight. And I just got to get this out here. Now, in this crazy religious world we live in, I tell you, it is very religious. I ain't saying it's right. I'm just saying it's religious. And all kinds of stuff out there. I'm not just people that go to some church or some other kind of religion. I'm talking about the masses, the people that don't ever dark the doors of the church. Even a lot of them, they got their own little version of religion. And here's one of the things, the concepts that's kind of popular in this world, is there's God, the force of good. And there's Satan, the force of evil. And there's this great cosmic battle back and forth. Who's going to win? God is doing his best, the forces of good. And Satan is doing his best, the forces of evil. That is a bunch of hooey. That's right. That's pure garbage. Our God is the Almighty God. Satan is a created being and he has absolutely no power against our God. He has no power or authority at all except what God allows him. And you might not understand that, but I'm just telling you, you can trust your heavenly Father that he's going to win. And he's on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, you need to know these basic truths about spiritual warfare. It's a good thing. I love to be on the winning team. Amen. And I want to tell you, we're on the winning team when we're on God's side. Ephesians, back to Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There it is. Redemption. We've been bought and paid for. That's how much he loves us. Through his blood, the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of sins, already redeemed, already forgiven because of the riches of his grace. Now, I'm just telling you, see, part of our basic training is to fill our heart and mind with the truths of God's word so that we'll have faith in what God has already done and already provided for us. Verse 11 of Ephesians 1, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Did you know as God's child, you already have an inheritance? You know, one of the sad stories of the Bible is where Esau gives up his birthright. And I don't have time to get into the story tonight, but I'm just going to say, as a child of God, Don't give up your birthright. Don't let go of what belongs to you. I'm telling you, your heavenly Father has already, in Christ, given you an inheritance in Christ. Amen. We need our eyes open, you see, about our position in Christ and who we are in Him. Oh, so much already belongs to us. In Ephesians 1, a little bit later, beginning in verse 17, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would be able to understand what had been done for them. I want to read it beginning in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Oh, there's so much here, but I want you to see this truth. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in the life of the believer. Amen. You need to know this about yourself in this spiritual warfare. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead works in you. And I want you to know that everything that Satan had, he tried to stop the Lord Jesus from rising from the dead. If there was anything that he could have done, he would have done it. And he couldn't stop it. And that same power is at work in your life. That's who you are as a child of God. You need to know. Oh, there's great power. In fact, Jesus told the disciples in Luke 10:19, I give you authority or power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yes, we have power over the enemy in Christ. He says we're in Christ. What is Christ's position? It tells us, He has seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's where Jesus is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Everything is under Jesus' feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Everything is under his feet. And who are we? We are the body. That means everything is under our feet. Because everything is under Jesus' feet and we are part of his body. I'm telling you, church, we need to know Jesus is far above all principality and power. You see, all the forces of darkness, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, that which is to come. We don't have anything to fear. See, you are not some insignificant nothing. We are nothing without him. Jesus says, without him, you can do nothing. But here's the thing. We're not without him. We are in Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to understand, this is a place of rest. Jesus is seated, and we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. You're sitting right now. Did you know that's a place of rest? I hope you're not working real hard right now. No, when you're seated, you're not struggling. You're not fighting. You're resting. And here's the point. You see, we rest in what God has already done for us. You see, a lot of believers, they're fighting just to try to make it through. I'm going to tell you something. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. You can rest in the fact that you're God's child, that you've been forgiven, that you've been redeemed, that you've been set free. You can rest in all that He has already done for you. He's already given us the victory. Because I'm going to tell you one more time, we're not ready to stand against the wiles of the devil until we've learned to rest in what's already been done for us. You've been freed from Satan's dominion. He has no hold, no authority in your life anymore. Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us, our fathers delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. See, spiritually, when you got born again, you moved. You changed locations because you're no longer a part of the dominion of darkness. No, now you belong to the kingdom. You belong to the King. You're part of the kingdom of God. And that old power, that old dominion, it has no authority in your life anymore. All because of what Jesus has done. Just God's grace, amazing grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nothing that we have done, it's what He's done. Grace. What Christ has done. And it should never make us arrogant or prideful in any way. No, it should make us humble. That it's all Him and nothing we have done. We just rest in it. But we're fighting from a position of victory. You can't pay for something that's already been paid for. You can't earn a gift. And you can't fight a battle over a battle that's already been won. And you need to realize how much has already been taken care of, so you rest. Isaiah 53:5, here's the prophecy. He was wounded for our transgressions. Listen, this is all past. This was 2,000 years ago. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. See, we accept the promises of God and the things that He's provided for us. Realize that the enemy tries to get an advantage of you by getting you to struggle for what's already yours. How ridiculous is it to fight for what you already have? I mean, the only fight that we have in that regard is sometimes we have to fight to believe. Fighting that fight of faith, we fight to believe. But Satan has no authority in your life. When you stand on the Word of God and know that you're free, know you're healed, know you're righteous, know you're redeemed, know that you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. More than a conqueror, that's who you are. And it's from that place in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we are ready to fight our battle. First thing you need to know about spiritual warfare, you can rest in what Jesus has already done for you. Spiritual warfare. It's not a scary thing. I know that it can be a lot more complicated than what I'm talking about tonight. But I also know that the enemy of our soul wants us to be afraid. We don't have anything to be afraid about. I'll tell you, we belong to him and he takes care of us. And so you need to learn this from the very beginning. If you're going to talk about spiritual warfare, you already are saved and healed and set free and have victory. You already are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. You were chosen. You're blameless. You're righteous. You're delivered. You've been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. You belong to him. And you have power over all the power of the enemy. So you don't have to be afraid. I just want to encourage you that during this week, as you pray, just begin to thank God for these things. And when the enemy tries to accuse you, you just remind him, number one, that Jesus has already paid and there's no blame or no shame on you. And then you might just go ahead and remind him of what's coming. I'll tell you, people do that a little more often, he might not bother you so much. You know what I'm saying? You're going to burn in the lake for a long, long time. You're going to burn in everlasting torment in the lake of fire. A lot of people are a little confused about this, but that's the eternal place of damnation, is the lake of fire. Don't want to be there. But that's where our enemy is going. Child of God, you already have the victory. You're fighting with the victory. Stand with me. We're going to pray.